Living on Earth needs your support to be heard each week. Kindly give what you can today by using the donate link to the left of this page. Thanks.
The Great American Road Trip is a rite of passage for a lot of young people, but it was more than the open road that Julian Ben Evans and their friend Mark Dixon were looking for. They hit the highways and byways of America in search of strange and quirky stories about the environment and videoed the people and places they encountered. They called their year-long 50-state adventure YERT, or Your Environmental Road Trip. Two out of three YERTers join me. In Louisville, Kentucky, is Julie Evans. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
And in the studio is Mark Dixon. He's the third in the trio. Hi, Mark.
Hi there.
Well, you know, when I was watching your videos, I was thinking this is like Hunter Thompson meets Rachel Carson. Here you're preaching the gospel of the environment by driving across the country, going to all these bizarre and weird places, but you're driving nonetheless. It doesn't sound eco-friendly to me.
Yeah, it's the first oxymoron that we hit upon. Actually, we looked at doing a bicycle road trip. Turns out that I have a weird knee that doesn't like to bike. The car we chose was about as small as we could get and still hold all our equipment.
It was a hybrid.
Yeah, it was a Ford hybrid. And we thought, you know, maybe that's another way to get more people on board who don't even know what a hybrid is.
Well, what were the rules of the road?
The first was that we had to keep all of our garbage with us. We're trying to make no more than one shoebox of garbage per month across all three of us.
You were able to do that?
Yeah, essentially we were.
We crammed it.
Yeah. Our feet were up by our heads. We actually started shipping home some of our less vital equipment and other things, other supplies, to make room for the garbage. You know, it was either garbage or maybe your underwear.
We really tried to plan ahead and have ways to kind of combat the garbage. And we talked to our waiters when we sat down, like, we're doing an experiment. Please, no straws, no napkins, no nothing. And they mostly were really interested. So that was a huge help.
What are the other rules?
Well, we also said that we couldn't turn on any incandescent light bulbs.
So were you in the dark quite a bit?
Well, yes, we were. And we used little LED headlamps. They made our hosts guilty a lot of the time. If they didn't have the right bulbs in their home, they would take one look at us sitting in the dark with our little headlamps and feel so guilty that some of them would run out and buy compact fluorescents on the spot.
We weren't doing it to try to guilt anyone. We were just doing it for our own experiment, but it did sometimes turn out that way.
Where did the ideas for the stories come from? Did you just roll into town and say, what's strange, unusual, and weird about the environmental movement?
Sometimes. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes we would do just that.
It's a big country, though, man. It is really huge, and there's so much going on.
You went to a town in Idaho, Elk Bend, I think it's called. You met some very strange characters living in some very strange circumstances.
I built down below a big rock house down there.
Yeah, that's Dugout Dick. He was a miner. He's been living in a cave for about 60 years.
I said, I'll build a home up here. They had to come up here and see me.
He was looking for ore, didn't really find it, but discovered that it was warmer in the cave than it was outside in the winter in Idaho. And so he actually furnished them. He went to dumps and he got wood stoves and he got mattresses and he made, like, I don't know, 11 or 12 little places where people could actually stay. And you could stay there for a dollar a night.
Look at me. I live in a cave. I've got everything you've got. I've got a comfortable chair. I've got a warm stove. I can cook. I can sleep. I can read.
That's Bruce. He's lived there for several years, and he pays his years in advance. I think it's $300.
Progress, the way people look at it, is all these great technological things, you know, but it's really hurting the planet. What we really need to do is regress. Maybe grow gardens more than we do. Maybe live in a cave, you know?
Boy, it makes me want to head for the hills.
It was some good living up there.
Yeah, he loves it. He loves it. To him, it's, you know, he still has a car. Bruce still has a car, and he goes to work and has a regular job.
Well, speaking of cars, let's go to Salt Lake City, Utah, where you found National Parking Day.
That happens all over the country, I think. We just happened to hit it on the right weekend in Salt Lake City, I think.
And so it's just a way to kind of raise the awareness of the importance of parks by building one park at a time, one stall at a time, one dime at a time, or quarters now.
Well, this is where people put some money into a meter, and then that space becomes theirs, and they don't use it to park their cars. They can do whatever they want with that space.
Oh, yeah, they'll put down some grass and maybe a park bench and a tree, and we played football in one of them, and they even
croquet.
Yep, croquet, too. It was a good time.
Utah, where all the streets are paved with grass.
Well, let's listen to another clip. You went off to Iowa, Des Moines, I guess it was, for the corn challenge?
We call this the all corn, many corn, no corn challenge.
Oh, right.
Yes, our very own corn challenge.
That was Mark's favorite week of digestion.
I guess you had to eat only corn products, basically.
Well, just corn off the cob.
I really can actually understand how corn-fed beef feels. Crappy.
Yeah.
I feel like crap.
Yeah, he could only eat corn. Ben could eat corn, anything that had corn in it, anything at all that had corn in it.
That's right, your husband, Ben.
Favorite chips?
Mm-hmm.
Relish?
Yeah, I'm really slumming it here, dude. I don't know how I'm ever going to make it through 5 whole days of eating 90% of what's in the grocery store.
And you
could eat nothing that had corn in it.
Corn challenge breakfast. Oops. Who would think that there's corn in your yogurt? Corn syrup solids. Corn starch modified.
That's when we discovered that most things have corn in them. Then suddenly I had to really, really read my labels. And that's why I ended up eating mostly fresh fruit.
Why did you call it your environmental road trip and not, you know, our environmental road trip?
We really wanted to make it a participatory event. We didn't want it to be just about us. We wanted it to be about everybody and for everybody to embrace both the route and the people we met and take it upon themselves to maybe make a difference in their life.
And we still want it to be inclusive very much.
Well, Julie, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure and an honor.
And Mark, you too.
Thank you. Had a great time.
Mark Dixon and Julie Evans recently finished their, or should we say your, environmental road trip, yurt. Julie's husband, Ben, was home with their new baby. She was born during the trip. For a link to view yurt's videos, go to our website, loe.org.
Trucking, I'm going home. Whoa, whoa, baby, back where I belong. Back home, sit down and patch my bones and get back trucking.
Coming up, cool asphalt paves the way to a cool planet. Keep your ear to the ground. It's Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.